What a great opportunity we have today to worship God together and to meet together as God's people and to be encouraged together by the scriptures. And so we should take advantage of that and make the most of that. And for those of you that are joining us online, we miss you and we want to see you. And it's not fair that you can see me, but I can't see you. But we trust you're there. I know someone in particular that's listening tonight. Nice to see you, honey. As my wife. Yeah. So we were, last week, we completed the little series we had going called Mountains Will Move. And so we're going to just shift just a little bit this weekend and in the following weekends to mountain movers. And we concluded last week's in Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 32 to the end of the chapter, and talked about how do you keep the faith when things are really hard in life. And so if you missed that message, you might want to go back and listen to it. And then this weekend, what we're going to do is just turn the page to Hebrews chapter 11, which is sometimes known as the faith chapter, where we see the heroes of faith in that chapter, Hebrews 11. And so they're like the mountain movers that we're going to be talking about for a few weeks. But to set that up this week, we just want to talk about faith in general. We want to set the stage about the basics of faith. One of my favorite stories is about two nuns that were home health care workers, and they were out in the countryside, getting into people's homes, helping them out. And as they were driving back to the convent or the nunnery or whatever it's called, they ran out of gasoline in their car. But they just so happened to be right near a filling station, not too far. It was just down the street. And they went through their vehicle to find a container to walk down and put some gas in this container so they could put gas in their car. And all they could find was a clean bedpan. But they thought, you know what, that'll probably work. They were, pretty creative. And so they walked down. They weren't ashamed. They got gas in this bedpan, brought it back. And as they were putting the gas into their tank, a couple drove by in their car and saw them pouring this liquid out of a bedpan into their gas tank. And the husband turned to his wife in this car and said, "Wow, do I ever admire their faith." And he said, "And if that works, I'm changing to their religion." Yeah, so I wonder if that's real faith. As we look at Hebrews 11, it's known as the faith chapter, just like 1 Corinthians 13 is known as the love chapter. And so we can learn some things. And I want to just this evening focus on the first three verses of chapter 11 and sort of set the stage for the basics of faith. Because what Hebrews 11 does is it gives us an explanation of faith and then it gives us examples of faith. Okay, so we should look at the explanation first. And I'm going to break it down with three E's. And they go like this: the essence of faith, the evidence of faith, and the effect of faith. Okay? So the first three verses of Hebrews 11 go like this. Now I picked the New King James Version. Normally, I like a little more modern version, like the NIV. But this is really a tricky passage to, because the language in the Greek in these three verses is tricky. And I like the New King James, how it translates it. So here it goes. It goes like this: "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things that are visible." Okay, that's where we'll stop. The first point is the essence of faith. Okay, the first thing under the essence of faith is faith has substance. Faith has substance. Now, because Hebrews 11:3 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, the word substance there, literally translated, could mean to set under or to support. Okay, so that's what the word substance means, is to support. It's like, what is your foundation? What are you really standing on? What is supporting you? And your faith, it has substance, or at least it should have substance. It's the thing that you can stand on that can be relied upon. And it's not like check your brain at the door. We need to continue to exercise our reasoning. However, we need to be careful that our faith is not subject to reason alone. It goes beyond reason. It's faith, after all. I like what St. Augustine said about that. He said, God does not expect us to submit our faith to him without reason, but the very limits of our reason make faith a necessity. Faith is having substantial confidence in something, even though that something may not be fully realized. Okay? Now, this is important. Faith is not just about positive thinking. It's not about making sure that, you know, I have my feelings in line with, you know, what I believe to be true. I mean, feelings are important, but faith isn't just about positive thinking or saying the right things. It's more substantial than that, because that would just be faith in faith or faith in myself. It's more substantial. It's an act of confidence in who God is, in what he has done in the past, what he continues to do in the present, and what he will do in the future. It has substance. It's the substance of things hoped for. Okay, here's the second point under the essence of faith. Faith is a lifestyle, not an event. Okay, because faith has substance, it's not just about, well, I was baptized when I was young, or I went to VBS or camp and I made a confession of faith, or I prayed a salvation prayer, or I completed my confirmation course, or I get to church at least once a month. Now listen, all those things are good. I'm not knocking those things. But your faith has to have more substance than just an event that takes place in your life. What you believe about God must be married to your decisions and your choices in life. Day by day, moment by moment, it affects how you live your life. It's acting as though God is telling the truth. I like how verse 6 of Hebrews 11 sort of boils it all down. And so we're jumping ahead just a little bit, but I really like this summary of faith here. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. That's kind of simple, actually. You know, here's what faith is. You believe that God exists. As I was praying on the drive here this evening, I just said that to God as I'm driving down Highway 61, heading for Highway 210. I'm like, God, I believe that you exist. Because otherwise it would be pretty silly for me to be sitting in my car talking like that. And here's the cool thing. Faith not only believes that God exists, but you believe that he rewards those that earnestly seek him. That's the part where it really impacts who you are and it impacts your life. Because you believe that it makes a difference when you pursue God. When you make that a priority in your life. When it becomes one of the passions of your life. Your greatest passion is to know God and to seek God and to get near to God. Because you know why? Because you're motivated, because you believe that there's reward in that. There's benefit in that. Earnestly seeking God. And I like that word, earnestly seeking, because it means that it's really connected to your desires. Right? You're passionate about it. It's a priority. It's something you're really focused on. Knowing God, getting near to God. There's benefit in relating to him. So, how do you do that? How do you fuel your faith? If you say, well, you know, Pastor Hollis, this all sounds pretty good. How do I really kind of keep that going in my life? Well, here's how you fuel your faith. Faith is fueled through consistent and meaningful connection with the living word and the written word. Okay? There's a little bit of a difference there. The living word is Jesus Christ. You read John 1:1, you see that Jesus is described as the word. The word was with God and the word was God. And the word became flesh and dwelled among us. And so if you want to fuel your faith, then make a connection with the living word of God, and that's Jesus Christ. You have a personal relationship with him, and you pay attention to that. But then you also fuel your faith through the written word, which are the scriptures. Faith is fueled through meaningful connections. The first one is to Jesus, the living word. I like Acts chapter 4, verse 13, talking about the disciples, talking about people observing the disciples. It says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were just unschooled, ordinary men. I can relate to that. I've been to school, but I'm pretty ordinary. They were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Have you been with Jesus? Do you spend time with Jesus? You know how that happens? It's pretty simple, folks. You take time in your life and make it a priority to just come before God and be quiet before him and talk to him and listen to him and pray to him because you believe that he exists, right? And you believe that he rewards those that earnestly seek him. And so you spend time with him. It is not rocket science. And then faith is not just about knowing the living word, but it's also connecting with the written word of God. And following that word, fashioning your life after what you read in the scriptures. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is how you build your faith, is through the scripture. So I don't normally bring my Bible because I usually use my phone for my Bible. But this is my favorite Bible right now. You know why? Because it's got large print. I don't wear glasses, and I don't even wear reading glasses. Okay? But it does help, especially in low light, to have larger print. And I really like to read this Bible. This one happens to be the NIV version. I like the weight of it. And I do, I leave this open oftentimes on my desk in my office here at church to the scripture that I'm going to be speaking on that weekend, because I'll just look down and I'll just meditate on that. And so I hope you have a Bible. And a lot of people are using their phone for their Bible, and that's okay. That's a good way to get the Bible. But I hope you have something, too, that you can put your hands on and that you can spend time in. Because this is the written word of God. And it fuels your faith. And so how do you do that? I talk about three things that are important. Your connection with the scripture needs to be intentional. Needs to be strategic. In other words, you're not always just playing Bible roulette. You know what Bible roulette is? This is Bible roulette. I wonder what I'm going to read today. Okay, that's probably fine, and sometimes God uses that. But can I tell you what? If you really want to be a student of the scripture, you need to be strategic in the way that you interact with the scripture. I like to read the Bible through in a year. And by the grace of God, I've been able to do that for, 25 years, maybe 30. That's a strategic approach to the scriptures. And here's a little bonus. This one's not in your notes. But faith is also fueled through faith-filled associations. We encourage one another in our faith when we gather together. Acts 28:14-15. There we found some brothers who invited us to spend a week with them. And so we came to Rome, and the brothers there had heard that we were coming, and they traveled as far as the Forum of Appius and of the Three Taverns to meet us. And at the sight of these men, Paul thanked God and was encouraged. That word encouraged literally means they put courage into him. We need each other. We need each other. It's how you fuel your faith. Hang out with people that will inspire strength and courage and faith and devotion to Christ. All right, that's the essence of faith. Let's jump to the evidence of faith. All right? Faith is believing in something you cannot see. Hebrews 11:1. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, but it's also the evidence of things not seen. We do this all the time. We believe that something exists, or we trust in something even though we haven't investigated it fully or we don't always see it. When you get on an airplane, you probably haven't, you know, done a once around walk around the aircraft before you got on. You probably didn't check the pilot's certificate. When you came into church today, you probably didn't, you know, really inspect that chair before you sat down. You had faith. Here's a great example of faith that people just, it's almost blind faith, is GPS. Right? Some people just, they just listen. Right now, who uses a map anymore? Paper maps. Does anybody still use a paper map? God bless you, brother. We're praying for you. Okay, so 2 years ago, January 2019, I did a wedding, and it was kind of a destination wedding. It was in Cross Lake, Minnesota, kind of by Brainerd. And it was out in the middle of absolutely nowhere. And even though it was January, it was in a tent. Okay, but it was a nice tent, and they did have a big heater blowing in there. But I just put my GPS on when I left my home and heading for Cross Lake. And by the time we got kind of near Cross Lake, it took me down this country road because it was choosing the shortest route. That's what GPS does. And it took me down this country road, and I thought, oh, I really don't know where I am, but it's, you know, I'm listening to it, and I have mine set on an Irish accent, you know, which is kind of cool. It's telling me to turn here and turn there. And then pretty soon I'm on a gravel road, and I have no idea where I am. And I am traveling by faith. And I'm trusting that whoever's in that GPS knows what they're telling me. Because I didn't want to be late for the wedding because I was conducting the wedding. Faith is believing in something you can't see. And we do that all the time. But here's what's cool. God helps us with this. And he gives us some evidence. Even though it's the evidence of things not seen, he gives us some evidence to help us. By his mercy, he assists our faith. And he does this through the hand of creation. And the Hebrew writer writes this in verse 3. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which were visible. So there's an interaction here, in creation especially, between things that we can see and things that we can't see. Creation is such a great example of the existence of the unseen God. It truly is. It is the best explanation for everything we see around us, as opposed to a cosmic accident that happened billions of years ago, an explosion that somehow turned into ooze in a pond that emerged as a creature and eventually turned into us. And I'm not trying to mock evolution or science. I'm not. But it's not the best explanation for what you see around you today. I mean, have you really looked at creation? Have you looked at what's around you in nature? It's incredible. The human body is amazing. You know why your ears are built the way they are? Because they catch sound. They're designed to capture sound and get it into the right place. You know why your eye has an aperture, which we've designed a camera after an eye with an aperture that opens and closes and focuses? Because your eye is designed to be able to see and to focus in. It's amazing. So God helps us to see through creation that he is real, that there's an unseen influence involved. He helps us. It encourages our faith. Romans 1:20, Paul said, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen." The invisible is made visible, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. So let me ask you this question. Is your life influenced and informed by something that you cannot see? I hope it is. In Almighty God. Okay, here's the next point about evidence of faith. The conviction of faith often defies our circumstances. Now, here's where that word evidence is a little bit hard to translate, because if you look in the King or in the Strong's Concordance, you could translate the word evidence with the word conviction. And they're really kind of different, but yet they're kind of connected. Let me try and help us out here. It's a bit of a challenge, but I think we can figure this out. A conviction is something that's strongly held and not easily shaken. It's founded solidly in someone's life, even in the midst of hardship and challenge. Because it's a conviction, it endures through hardship and challenge. And it actually turns into evidence of faith. Do you see the connection here? When you have a strong conviction of faith, when you're going through a hard time and you still hold on to your faith, it becomes evidence of your faith. Do you see the connection? That's why the word is kind of tricky. It almost looks like anti-evidence. You know, if someone will say, well, if God were real, then life would be rosy for this person and everything would be wonderful if God were real. But guess what? Even when life isn't rosy and even when everything isn't wonderful, I still have faith because I have a strong conviction. And it actually becomes evidence of the reality of God. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, look at verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. I will, because I have conviction that God is real and that he's loving and he's kind and he's good and he's faithful and he always comes through. And it becomes evidence of my faith. Let me just borrow a character from Hebrews 11, the character of Noah. This is truly seen in Noah's life. Imagine building a boat in what was essentially a desert, and he worked on it for 120 years without any evidence of rain. Can you imagine the people around him and how they mocked him? And how they discouraged him at every turn? But every day, Noah got up with his saw and he got up with his hammer. And he just kept building because he knew what God said was true. He was convinced. He was convicted. And it became evidence of his faith. So if you're in a test of faith today, ask God in prayer to deepen your conviction and to strengthen your life so that you will have conviction, which turns into evidence. Okay, last point, and we're going to bring this in for a landing pretty quick. We've seen the essence of faith and the evidence of faith, and here's the last point, the effects of faith. Here's the first effect of faith. You'll have a positive testimony. Hebrews 11:2, for by it, remember, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. So here's the deal. By faith, your life becomes a good pattern for other people to follow. And by faith, when you follow God, you begin to make him look good. We say that glorifies God. My life begins to glorify God and make him look good. And now I'm a good pattern for other people to follow. You become a good testimony. Now listen, if you are a Christ follower, if you would consider yourself a Christian, you are a testimony. You're either a good testimony or a bad testimony. If the people around you know that you're a Christian and know that it is the desire of your life to follow Jesus, your life becomes a testimony to those that are observing your life, and it's either a good testimony or a bad testimony. Based on how you're living your life and allowing your faith to impact how you conduct your life. Jesus had a great encouragement for us related to this in Matthew 5:16. He said, in the same way, let your light shine before men. When I looked up the word shine there, it actually kind of means this. It's an exercise of faith. It's a display of faith. It's a demonstration of your faith. Let it shine. Don't hide it. You know, put it under a bushel. No. Let your light shine. Let your testimony come forth. Jesus said, so that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. By faith, in living faith, you make God look good. This is such an important part of the faith dynamic. Would you monitor your testimony day by day? How am I doing? You know, when you react in certain situations, ask God for help so that you react in good ways. How you conduct yourselves, especially under stress. Am I making God look good? So this is one of the things I talk about, you know, related to the pandemic. And there's different ideas about how we conduct ourselves. There's people that feel like, you know, they don't want the government to tell them what they should do or shouldn't do. And I kind of agree with that. I don't like the government telling me what I should or shouldn't do. But what I usually tell people is, you know, this pandemic is going to end. Someday it'll actually be in the rearview mirror. I believe that. I think people begin to doubt that because humans are naturally so impatient that we become cynical when something goes on for a long time. It's kind of like winter in Minnesota. You know, by the time you get to March and you still have some below zero mornings, you're just like, this is never going to end. It's going to be winter forever. But can I tell you what? It does end. And I believe the pandemic will end. And I believe someday it'll be in the rearview mirror. And when I get to that point where I can look back, I want to examine my history. I want to examine the past and say, how did I conduct myself? Was I helpful? Was I honoring to other people? Was I selfless? Was I patient? Was I a good testimony? It's important. Your testimony is important. By faith, the ancients were commended for their testimony. They persevered through difficult things, and they still made God look good. Okay, here's the last point. Mature faith is less concerned about our own affairs and more concerned with God's affairs. And this is why I bring this up, because there is a teaching on faith out there that's a little bit unbalanced. The reason I would say it's unbalanced is because it's very sort of self-centered or self-focused. It's like, you know, God sort of exists for us so that our life can be so good and so perfect, and I won't have any problems if I just have enough faith. You know, I'll always be healthy, and there'll always be money in the bank, and my marriage will always be good if I just have enough faith. If I just think right, say it right, you know, sort of live it out right, my problems will go away. But guess what? That's very self-centered. And faith is less concerned about your affairs, sorry to tell you, and it's more concerned about God's affairs. And we need to keep that straight. If you look ahead to the examples of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, and you sort of see what those people's lives were like, they had a lot of challenges and they had a lot of problems, but they still honored God with their life. That's faith. As a matter of fact, God helped them overcome their problems. But guess what? It benefited those people, but it really benefited God and his ultimate purpose and plan for those people and for the world. It really is about God. I'm sorry, it's not about me and it's not about you. It's about God. It's about his purpose and his plan. And we just need to be careful when it comes to faith, that we don't make it about us. Psalm 115, verse 1. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory because of your love and faithfulness. And as we close and as the worship team comes back, reminds me of the prayer that closes the book of Hebrews. I feel like I just want to keep saying this prayer over and over because there's such hope in this, that God wants to help us grow in our faith. He wants to help you. He wants to help you do his will. Hebrews 13, as the writer closes the book, he says this, may the God of peace, who the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, may he equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. So as we close today, we've laid the foundation of faith. Now we can be inspired by the examples of faith as we'll look at them in the coming weeks in Hebrews 11. But can I tell you what? It's not exclusive to the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11. This kind of life is possible for us. It's available to all who believe and look to God for help. We believe that faith in Christ has substance. It offers a firm and solid foundation for us to stand on. That true faith is married to the decisions and the choices of our daily lives. That our faith is fueled by our connection to Christ and His Word and His people. We believe that faith is something that we can't see that results in something that others can see that's positive in our lives. So will you stand with me? We're going to sing a song of confession of faith. We'll have the prayer folks come into the corners. You may need to exercise your faith this evening before you leave here. You might have a pressing need in your life, and you just need to have your faith encouraged by praying with somebody else. And if that's true for you, they're here for you. Let's sing this confession of faith. I love this song. I don't know if the Newsboys wrote it, but they sing it. It's called We Believe. In this time of desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation, we believe. In this broken generation, when all is dark, you help us see there is one salvation, we believe. All right, let us pray together. So God, that's our confession of faith. We believe in things we cannot see. We trust, God, that you reward those who diligently seek you. God, would you help us to deepen our faith as we go through this study of faith, Lord? I pray that we would solidify the foundation that we're standing on, that it would have substance, God. I pray, Lord, that we would have such strong conviction of faith that even when we go through hard times, that our faith becomes evidence of the existence of God. We pray, God, that we would make you look good, that we would be commended, even as the ancients were commended, that they had a good testimony. Strengthen the testimony of our lives. So that when outsiders are looking in, they would see you, God. They would see a good picture of you. Help your people make you look good. As we walk out of this building, as we go back to our families, as we go back to the workplace, help us, God, to have a good testimony, a life that exalts the living God. Thank you, Lord. Thanks for the prayer that ends the book of Hebrews. We believe that you want to help us. You want to strengthen us. You want to empower us to live for you. We receive that today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. God bless you. Thanks for hanging out with us. If you need prayer, we'll hang out. Otherwise, have a wonderful week.